Star Ryan Burrow has left the comfortable confines of Chicago, and he, last I heard, was in Virginia, but I think he was heading to one of the Carolinas. Ryan, you're on WGN. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, in fact, I'm headed southbound on I-95 right now. Sorry if there's an echo. Heading down about 70 miles outside of Fayetteville. That's where Fort Bragg is. That's the next destination. We're kind of being directed south because the storm seems to have stalled and taken a more southerly approach, and it's probably going to take aim somewhere along the North Carolina, South Carolina border, maybe even dipping kind of closer to Georgia.
So how far are you or will you be from the ocean?
I'll be a little ways away, but still well within that range of where maybe as much as 30 inches of rain could fall. You know, it's interesting driving down I-95. I've passed a few dozen utility vehicles, obviously staging, getting ready, getting put in position. And on the northbound side of I-95, I'm noticing a lot of traffic. I mean, it slows down at points, and then it kind of opens up at points. I wouldn't say it's jam-packed. I would say think of the Kennedy at about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's kind of what it is. And there's really nothing around here. It's not a major, you know, urban center, so to see traffic jams in a kind of rural setting is interesting to see. But these people are clearly trying to get out of the way. And now knowing that, you know, Virginia is probably not in the center of this cone, probably a safer place for a lot of these people to go.
So the storm's ground, the worst of the storm, it sounds like, is going to at least veer a little south of the biggest population centers. Is that right, Ryan?
That's the hope. This thing could change in a heartbeat, but we got our 2 p.m. National Weather Service update, and it looks as though, you know, we've been so focused on when's this thing going to hit land. This may not hit land as a hurricane. It has been downgraded to a Category 3 right now, and I believe wind speed's about 125 miles an hour, and because of the high-pressure system north of it, and obviously, Tom Skilling's more familiar than I am, but it sounds like it's kind of stalled this thing. It's pushed it into a corner where, you know, it's not necessarily rotating in a way that's going to drag it into land. So this is actually kind of scarier because if it's just sitting there cycling and spinning off the coast, it's just dumping more and more water. Kind of one of the problems that we saw with Houston where, you know, the storm just kind of lingered over the city last year, and that's what created so much problem and chaos. It wasn't the eye hitting any particular spot. It was just that constant rain and constant wind.
They're saying Saturday. Are you still hearing Saturday? Wherever it's going to land, it might hit. That's the estimated time of arrival?
The effects of the rain bands probably going to start sometime tomorrow evening for areas closest to the shoreline, and then it will continue to kind of fan out through maybe a 24 to 36 hour span is the concern, and that's into Saturday, maybe even Sunday, where the rain will just consistently fall. You know, it's weird. I don't know about you, John. Have you ever been in a hurricane before? it's tough from a Midwest perspective. We don't really understand how this works. It's the rain that's the real issue. You know, it's not like from some regards, it is a big tornado that slams into the earth, into land. But, I mean, for the most part, it's just this rain that's just consistently going sideways. Now, we've experienced that in short bursts before, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and you're walking downtown, and you come in, and you're soaked, and you're like, wow, that was bad. But it stops after 20 minutes. And this continues for days and days, and that's where the struggle is, and that's when people end up, you know, getting stuck in their homes or getting stuck in their cars or, you know, trying to drive through it, and that's where the real problems are.
That's Ryan Burrow from WGN Radio and ABC News. Your colleague and mine here at the radio station, Ryan, Chris Duffy, does production for us, and he was how long did you live in Florida?
10 years.
So you rode through a hurricane, right about that?
Three of them.
What was the worst one you rode through?
Well, I went through, in West Palm Beach, I went through Francis and Jean in, 04, and then Wilma in 06, I think.
Was that the worst, Wilma?
You know what? It's sort of apples and oranges. Intensity-wise, I think Jean was the strongest, but Wilma was weird. Wilma, first of all, bullseyed me. Went right away, literally went out into the
eye. So for all three of these hurricanes, you stayed put?
I was in a house in one and in a high-rise condo building in two others.
Great. And what was the category for these?
Francis was a 2. Wilma was a strong two, and Gene was a three.
Yeah.
So
the stuff Ryan is telling us, you can relate to.
Ryan absolutely nailed it, because while Gene was the strongest, 3 weeks earlier, Hurricane Francis had blown through. And even though Francis was weaker, it had way more rain. And what happens is, and, you know, you can, if you live around here, you can sort of picture this. You know, the storm surge is only going to affect people right on the coast. Those people on the barrier islands need to get off. You know, they need to. And then if you're, and they've all got it mapped out. You know, they know where the surge is going to come, where the first topography hits, where there's, you know, a kind of a hill. Even in Florida, there's little hills that, you know, okay, when you're on the other side of this little hill, little rise, you're going to be safe. But the rain is the issue. In Francis, the winds really sustained, really only got up to 90, 100 miles an hour. But it rained. The storm, and it sounds like this is what's going to happen with this one, the storm stalled right on the coast for about 2 days, and the rain just dumped. And so take a huge tree that has survived the wind. But what happens over the course of 2 days is the rain saturates the ground that that tree is sitting in. Okay, so now those roots aren't doing it any good, because the ground the roots are dug into is liquefied. So now it's going over, and it's taking whatever it's around it with it. So, yeah, the rain and the flooding and everything. Honestly, as hellacious as it's going to be on the coast when this storm comes ashore, where I really wouldn't want to be, truthfully, is farther west in those mountains of the Carolinas and you know, even into Georgia.
Why?
Because there's going to be just a titanic amount of
water.
And
it's very wet, the president said. This will be very wet.
Very wet. Yeah, he ain't wrong. So, but
what's the weather like where you are right now, Ryan Burrow? Is it? It's funny, because when we watch the stories on TV, even this morning, it looks like a very pleasant day. You would think before they had radars and satellites and stuff, you know, people would not have a care in the world, not knowing that, you know, Armageddon is just the next day away. What is the weather like right now, Ryan?
Well, it's 93 degrees and sunny. It's a beautiful day. It's kind of humid out. But that being said, that does kind of throw a lot of people off their game, especially people who have not been through this before, may not have experienced it. You know, what's the big deal? Everything seems fine out here. Why do I need to evacuate? You know, when everything seems to be wonderful, when the clouds start rolling in, then it's time to leave. Well, you know, then unfortunately it might be a little too late. So, you know, it's interesting. So I was in Norfolk yesterday, and the Walmart was completely sold out of water. It was completely sold out of bread. It was completely sold out of gas cans. And the reason for that is the mayor and city officials came out and said, look, we need you to be sustainable, self-sustainable for 3 days. We need you to make it 72 hours by yourself, because there's no guarantee we're going to be able to get to you if you are in one of these flooded areas. So people were, you know, listening to that, which is good. But still, that being said, a lot of people said, you know, I don't plan to go anywhere. I you know, don't think anything too bad's going to happen. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm passing another utility vehicle right now on I-95. It's about 4 or 5 since we've started this conversation. By the way, I am hands free, people, so don't worry. I don't have my phone pressed against my face. So yeah. My apologies if there's an echo.
No, no, it sounds good. You sound great, and we're appreciative that you're there. I think you're going to be on with Ro a little later on. Is that right?
Cool. Sure. Bring it on.
I
wanted to tell you, too, and I don't know if Chris is still there, but so I did go into Walmart yesterday. I got a gas tank just in case, you know, we get stranded out somewhere. I've got some, you know, granola bars and trail mix and Gatorades and waters and things like that, because you just never know when you're out and about, you know, if you're going to be in a place and be stuck there for a little while.
Yeah. Another thing you need to get, Ryan, and this is for, you know, anybody around, and if they're in hurricane country, they know this, you need to get cash. Because once the power goes out, the ATM cards, the ATM machines, the debit cards aren't going to work. And so you're going to have stores that are open, but they're doing business in cash only because there's no electricity.
Trinkets, shiny beads, anything you can trade if the economy goes to barter over a long period of time, that sort of thing.
I got a lot of radio equipment, but I think I need to keep that.
Hey, Ryan, listen, I'm going to let you go. Drive safe, and if something, you know, alarms you or alerts you, feel free to pop in at any time. If you're on with Ro later on, I think you might be. We'll catch that, and let's certainly touch bases tomorrow, okay?
All right, sounds good. Take care, John.
Ryan Burrow from WGN Radio. I got to take a break, Chris. Come back with me for a second.
Okay.
Because one of those hurricanes that you were living through in Florida came over, you said it bullseyed you, right?
Mm-hmm.
That means you saw all three parts of the eye of a hurricane, right? Before, during, and after?
I did.
So I've always wondered, what is it like? Literally, what is that like in a minute? Ryan Burrow is in the, where did he say? He's in North Carolina right now? He was in Virginia.
He's heading towards Fort Bragg, I think.
He's driving into the hurricane's path to cover it for ABC and us here at WGN Radio. Chris Duffy, the other voice you just heard, is one of our production guys, and he's lived in Florida for 10 years and ridden through three of these. Okay, tell me what it's like when the eye goes overhead.
The eye of Wilma went right over us, in 2006. And, that was like a category two storm. You know, you see these videos of the hurricane hunters and everything flying through the eye, and you can look straight up and see the blue sky. We didn't see that. I will say that it went from being crazy windy and rainy and insane to calm. And by calm, I mean a breeze of about 11, 14
That's
miles
amazing.
An hour.
What's it? How much time between and calm?
You know what? I think we had about 25 minutes.
No, but I mean...
Oh, from what?
Well, so it's...
Oh, from when the winds start to get to the eye? Now you're talking 3 hours or so.
Yeah.
Three and a half hours.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not asking my question well then. So it's...
So the question is, it's your hair is blowing all over the place, and then all of a sudden it's calm.
How long
quickly
does
that happen?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, you don't go out when your hair is blowing all over the place.
You wait until
it's a hostile
calm.
Witness, Your Honor.
Yeah. It peters out in just a few minutes,
Isn't that amazing?
But the worst part is the other side, because you got to be inside because it also comes back, and it comes back worse in like 3 or 4 minutes, too, when you hit the other side of the wall.
I'll ask you about that in a second. But then, so now, a few minutes later, whoom, just a light breeze outside. Does everybody run outside and go, woo?
Yeah, well, we went outside and noticed that half of the building's cars were all piled on top of one another, and so that wasn't really a woo moment, but yeah, it was like looking around and saying, all right, we're halfway through with this, and
here comes part two,
and the worst part, actually,
the backside.
Yeah,
so what happens then?
Well, for me and Wilma, it was pretty insane. When that back eye wall hit the northeast quadrant, I guess it would have been the northwest quadrant, but it just the wind was like completely insane. But it was also from the other direction, because as you see, if you just picture a hurricane going, now it's coming from a completely different direction. In fact, that pile of cars that we saw after the first half of the hurricane was piled on the other side of the parking lot.
Really, it blew them all back over there?
Yeah.
There's that eye, and you said, okay, you didn't see blue skies overhead.
But it did get very much lighter.
Do you see a wall, though? Because I imagine if you're in the eye, and one thing comes by, now you look to the northwest, and you go, there's the other half of it coming. Do you literally see an approaching wall of rain and storm?
What's really strange is no, because there's such a low overcast. A Midwest thunderstorm, a shelf wall looks way more impressive than a hurricane.
Okay, so then how much time do you have between, it's 11-mile-an-hour winds and 100-mile-an-hour winds are coming? Does it pick up pretty quick?
Yeah, it does. And you've got to be aware of that. It's not like you get in the car and go driving around and saying, hey, let's go sightseeing. No, you just sort of come out, look around, take a couple of deep breaths, and get ready for part two.
Our news click said, if you knew you were going to survive a hurricane, would you want to be in one of these fours? And I said, yes. Not many people are with me on that. Would you want to be in one of these bad boys?
No.
But you did.
I wanted to see how the sausage was made. But
and you were
well,
almost
the
turned
first
into
one,
sausage.
Francis, was supposed to be a two, and we actually had a hurricane party. For that, we were at somebody's house drinking, playing cards. Hey, the house is pretty secure. We've got the shutters up and everything. But we lost power within like an hour after the wind started, which means, now the showers don't work and everything. I can tell you after 2 days, it was not a party anymore.
But you also said, we got to go now, but that after the storm, those of you that did stay, it was sort of like it is after a blizzard in Chicago. Everybody's out, they're helping each other, there's a real sense of community.
Well, the first thing is you don't have to go to work the next next day. Nobody does. Secondly, there's a lot of times there's a curfew, so if you're over visiting at night, that's where you're staying. But third, you've probably well provisioned yourself with beer and spirits and junk food. And on top of that, there's no refrigeration, so everybody's got to get rid of their meat, which means the neighborhood's having the mother of all barbecues that night. So, yeah, and truthfully, it is a kind of a situation, because where I lived in Florida was so transient. People were coming and going. Nobody knew their neighbors, you know. And after a storm, you actually got to know who lived around you and who needed help, and everybody sort of reached out for one another. So, yeah, there are some flip sides to these things and some good outcomes.
John, it's a federal law since Katrina that all shelters and hotels must accept pets during disasters. When I get to be king, I said that would be the way. What do you know? It is the way. All right, we got to take a break. Steve's going to do the news. Afterwards, some of the folks on strike from the hotels in Chicago are in our studio. Chris, nice to see you, man. Thanks for swinging by. We'll maybe visit more as this hurricane develops. WGN Radio News with Steve Bertrand's right around the corner.